This is KLLGLP 97.9 FM up here in Willits, California. I'm Greg Schindel, train singer, and we are now boarding the Bipolar Express. All chug-a-chug-a-chug-chug-chug-chug up the hill. A puffin' and a chugging, you know the engine will reach the summit and go down the other side. Whoopee! What a ride. Whoopee! And what a ride as we whip past the Halloween costume and the sugar fest. And the darkening into it. Oh, but what are we looking for? The next American celebration, which is Thanksgiving, of course. Yes, we have so much to be thankful, actually. Turkey and as much food as you can eat. Oh, I can hardly move. I think I'll take a walk. Yes, and families, oh, we'll all feel obligated to gather together to ask the Lord's blessing, and we'll travel incredible distances just to be together with family, remembering beneath all the strife and stress, there's love and kindness. You know, I'm still actually wanting to prolong the Halloween energy a little bit, just a little bit, and the aroma, All Saints, All Souls aspect of this time of year. So I'm actually going to read the classic tale of the monkey's paw today. And then I might sing one of my creepiest train songs. Hey, Greg, they're all creepy when you do them. Now, who was that? Who was that? Okay. So, by the way, if things weren't creepy enough, folks out there, Sunday, we go back daylight savings time. What a weird thing that is to say. So don't be late for work on Monday. Turn your fall back. Until next time when they let us go ahead and spring. Okay, enough of this. So, this is by W.W. Jacobs, and it's called The Monkey's Paw. So, folks, I want you to sit back and relax, because this is definitely story time, at least for at least a half an hour. So get yourself something to be comfortable and get ready to be... Without the night, it was cold and wet, but in the small parlor of La Burnham Villa, the blinds were drawn and the fire burned brightly. Father and son were at chess, the former, who possessed ideas about the game involving radical changes, putting his king into such sharp and unnecessary perils that it even provoked comment from the white-haired old lady knitting placidly by the fire. "Oh, hark the wind," said Mr. White, who, having seen a fatal mistake after it was too late, was amiably desirous of preventing his son from seeing it. "I'm listening," said the latter, grimly surveying the board as he stretched out his hand. "Check." "Oh, I should hardly think that he'd come tonight," said his father, with his hand poised over the board.
"Mate," replied the son. "Oh,
that's the worst of living so far out," bawled Mr. White, with a sudden and unlooked-for violence.
And of all the beastly, slushy, out-of-the-way places to live in, this is the worst. Pathways a bog, and the roads a torrent. I don't know what people are thinking about. I suppose because only two houses in the road are let out, they think it just doesn't matter. Never mind, dear, said his wife soothingly. Perhaps you'll win the next one. Mr. White looked up sharply, just in time to intercept a knowing glance between mother and son. The words died away on his lips, and he hid a guilty grin in his thin gray beard. Well, there he is, said Herbert White, as the gate banged loudly and heavy footsteps came down toward the door. The old man rose with a hospitable haste, and opening the door was heard condoling with the new arrival. Now, the new arrival also condoled with himself, so that Mrs. White said, tut, tut, as her husband entered the room, followed by a tall, burly man, beady of eye and rubicund of vision. Ooh. Sergeant Major Morris, he said, introducing him. The sergeant major shook hands and, taking the proffered seat by the fire, watched contentedly while his host got out whiskey and tumblers and stood a small copper kettle on the fire. Now, at the third glass, his eyes got brighter and he began to talk of the little family circle regarding with eager interest this visitor from distant parts as he squared his broad shoulders in the chair and spoke of wild scenes and doughty deeds of wars and plagues and strange peoples. 21 years of it, said Mr. White, nodding at his wife and son. And when he went away, he was a slip of a youth in the warehouse, and now look at him. Well, he don't look to have taken much harm, said Mrs. White politely. Well, I'd like to go to Indy myself, said the old man, just to look around a bit, you know. Better where you are, said the sergeant major, shaking his head. He put down the empty glass and, sighing softly, shook it again. I should like to see those old temples and the fakers and jugglers, said the old man. What was that you started telling me the other day about a monkey's paw or something, Morris? Oh, nothing, said the soldier hastily. Leastwise, nothing worth hearing. Monkey's paw? Said Mrs. White curiously. Well, it's just a bit of what you might call magic, perhaps, said the sergeant major offhandedly. His three listeners leaned forward eagerly. The visitor absent-mindedly put his empty glass to his lips and then set it down again. His host filled it for him. Well, to look at it, said the sergeant major, fumbling in his pocket, it's just an ordinary little paw dried to a mummy. He took something out of his pocket and proffered it. Mrs. White drew back with a grimace. Oh, but her son, taking it, examined it curiously. And what is there special about it? Inquired Mr. White as he took it from his son and, having examined it, placed it upon the table. Well, it had a spell put on it by an old faker, said the sergeant major, a very holy man. He wanted to show that fate ruled people's lives and that those who interfered with it did so to their sorrow. He put a spell on it so that three separate men could each have three wishes from it. Well, his manner was so impressive that his hearers were conscious that their light laughter jarred somewhat. Well, why don't you have three, sir? Said Herbert White cleverly. The soldier regarded him in a way that middle age is wont to regard presumptuous youth. I have, he said quietly, and his blotchy face whitened. And did you really have three wishes granted? Asked Mrs. White. Oh, I did, said the sergeant major, and his glass tapped against his strong teeth. And has anybody else wished? Persisted the old lady. Whoa, the first man had 3 wishes. Yes, was the reply. I don't know what the first 2 were, but the 3rd was for death. That's how I got the paw. His tones were so grave that a hush fell upon the group. Now, if you've had your 3 wishes, it's no good to you now then, Morris, said the old man at last. What do you keep it for? Well, the soldier shook his head. Oh, fancy, I suppose, he said slowly, but I did have some idea of selling it, but I don't think I will. It has caused enough mischief already. And besides, people won't buy. They think it's a fairy tale, some of them, and those who do think anything of it, they want to try it first and pay me afterward. But if you could have another 3 wishes, said the old man, eyeing him keenly, would you have them? I don't know, said the man. I don't know. He took the paw and, dangling it between his forefinger and thumb, suddenly threw it upon the fire, while White, with a slight cry, stooped down and snatched it off. Better let it burn, said the soldier solemnly. Better let it burn. But if you don't want it, Morris, said the other, give it to me. I won't, said his friend doggedly. I won't. I threw it on the fire. If you keep it, don't blame me for what happens. Pitch it on the fire again like a sensible man. But the other shook his head and examined his new possession closely. How do you do it? He inquired. Oh, okay. Hold it up in your right hand and wish aloud, said the sergeant major. But I warn you of the consequences. Wow, sounds like the Arabian Nights, said Mrs. White, as she rose and began to set the supper. Don't you think you might wish for 4 pairs of hands for me? Well, her husband, he drew the talisman from his pocket. And then all 3 burst into laughter at the sergeant major, as the sergeant major, with a look of alarm on his face, caught him by the arm. Oh, if you must wish, he said gruffly. Wish for something sensible. Well, Mrs. White dropped it back in his pocket. Mr. White dropped it back in his pocket and, placing chairs, motioned his friend to the table. And in the business of supper, the talisman was partly forgotten. And afterward, the 3 sat listening in an enthralled fashion to a second installment of the soldier's adventures in India. Now, if the tale about the monkey's paw is not more truthful than those he's been telling us, said Herbert, as the door closed behind their guest, just in time for him to catch the last train. We shan't make much of it, right? But did you give him anything for it, Father? Inquired Mrs. White, regarding her husband closely. Oh, a trifle, said he, coloring slightly. He didn't want it, but I made him take it. And he pressed me again to throw it away. Likely, said Herbert, with a pretended horror. Likely? Why, we're going to be rich and famous and happy. Oh, wish to be an emperor, Father, to begin with, and then you can't be henpecked. He darted around the table, pursued by the malign Mrs. White, armed with an Antimus car. Well, Mr. White took the paw from his pocket and eyed it dubiously. I don't know what to wish for, and that's a fact, he said slowly. It seems to me I've got everything I need or want. Well, if you only cleared the house, you'd be quite happy, wouldn't you? Said Herbert, with his hand on his shoulder. Well, wish for 200 pounds. Then that'll just do it. His father, smiling shamefully at his own credulity, held up the talisman as his son, with a solemn face, somewhat marred by a wink at his mother, sat down at the piano and struck a few impressive chords. I wish for 200 pounds, said the old man distinctly. a fine crash from the piano. Whoa! Greeted his word. Interrupted by a shuddering cry from the old man. Oh! Oh! God! Oh! His wife and son ran toward him. It moved, he cried, with a glance of disgust at the object as it lay on the floor. As I wished, it twisted in my hand like a snake. Well, I don't see the money, said his son, as he picked it up and placed it on the table. And I bet I never shall. Well, it must have been your fancy, father, said his wife, regarding him anxiously. He shook his head. Oh, never mind, though. There's no harm done. But it gave me a shock all the same. They sat down by the fire again, and while the two men finished their pipes. Outside, the wind was higher than ever. And the old man started nervously at the sound of the door banging. Bang, bang. Upstairs, a silent, unusual, and depressing settled upon all three, which lasted until the old couple rose to retire for the night.
I expect you'll find the cash tied up in a big bag in the middle of your bed, said Herbert, as he bade them good night, and something horrible squatting on the top of the wardrobe watching you as you pocket your ill-gotten gains.
Well, the old man sat alone in the darkness, gazing at the dying fire and seeing faces in it. The last face was so horrible and so simian that he gazed at it in amazement. And then it got so vivid, with a little uneasy laugh, he felt on the table for a glass containing a little water to throw over it. His hand grasped the monkey's paw, and with a little shiver he wiped his hand on his coat and went to bed. By the way, you are riding the Bipolar Express on KLLG LP 97.9 FM. And we are reading today The Monkey's Paw. In the brightness of the wintry sun next morning, as it streamed over the breakfast table, he laughed at his fears. There was an air of prosaic wholesomeness about the room which it had lacked on the previous night, and the dirty, shriveled little paw was pitched on the sideboard with a carelessness which betokened no great belief in his virtues. "Well, I suppose all old soldiers are the same," said Mrs. White. "The idea of our listening to such nonsense. How could wishes be granted in these days?" "And as if they could, how could 200 pounds hurt you, father?"
"Might drop on his head from the sky," said the frivolous Herbert.
"Morris said things happen so naturally," said his father, "that you might, if you so wished, attribute it to coincidence." "Well, don't break into the money before I come back," said Herbert as he rose from the table. "I'm afraid it'll turn you into a mean, avaricious man, and we shall have to disown you." "Dad," his mother laughed, and following to the door, watched him down the road, and returning to the breakfast table, was very happy at the expense of her husband's credulity. All of which did not prevent her from scurrying to the door at the postman's knock, nor prevent her from referring somewhat shortly to retired sergeant majors of bibulous habits, and she found that the post brought a tailor's bill. Well, Herbert will have some more of his funny remarks, I expect, when he comes home, she said, as they sat at dinner. "I dare say," said Mr. White, pouring himself some beer, "but for all that, the thing moved in my hand, and I'll swear to it." "Oh, you thought it did," said the old lady soothingly. "Ah, I say it did," replied the other. "There was no thought about it. I had just..." "Oh, what's the matter? What's the matter?" His wife made no reply. She was watching the mysterious movements of a man outside who, peering in an undecided fashion at the house, appeared to be trying to make up his mind to enter. In mental connection with the 200 pounds, she noticed that the stranger was well-dressed and wore a silk hat of glossy newness. Why, three times he paused at the gate and then walked on again. But the fourth time, he stood with his hand upon it and then with a sudden resolution flung it open and walked up the path. Mrs. White, at the same moment, placed her hands behind her and, hurriedly unfastening the strings of her apron, put that useful article of apparel beneath the cushion of her chair. She brought the stranger, who seemed ill at ease, into the room. He gazed at her furtively and listened in a preoccupied fashion as the old lady apologized for the appearance of the room and her husband's coat, a garment which she usually reserved for the garden. She then waited as patiently as her sex would permit and for him to broach his business, but he was at first strangely silent. I was asked to call, he said at last, and stooped and picked a piece of cotton from his trousers. I come from Ma and Megan's. The old lady started. Well, is anything the matter? She asked breathlessly. Has anything happened to Herbert? What is it? What is it? Her husband interposed. There, there, mother, he said hastily. Sit down and don't jump at conclusions. You've not brought bad news, I'm sure, sir. And he eyed the other wistfully. I'm sorry, began the visitor. Is he hurt? Demanded his mother wildly. The visitor bowed in assent. Oh, badly hurt, he said quietly. But he's not in any pain. Oh, thank God, said the old woman, clasping her hands. Thank God for that. She broke off suddenly as the sinister meaning of the assurance dawned upon her, and she saw the awful confirmation of her fears in the other's perverted face. She caught her breath and, turning to her slower-witted husband, laid her trembling old hands upon his. There was a long silence. He was caught in the machinery, said the visitor at length in a low voice. Caught in the machinery? Repeated Mr. White in a dazed fashion. Yes. He sat staring blankly out the window and, taking his wife's hand between his own, pressed it as he had been wont to do in their old courting days nearly 40 years before. He was the only one left to us, he said, turning gently to the visitor. It is hard. The other coughed and, rising, walked slowly to the window. The firm wished me to convey their sincere sympathy with you in your great loss, he said, without looking around. And I beg that you will understand that I am only their servant, and I'm merely obeying orders. Well, there was no reply. The old woman's face was white, her eyes staring and her breath inaudible, as the husband's face was a look such as his friend, the sergeant, might have carried into his first action. I was to say that Ma and Megan's disclaim all responsibility, continued the other. They admit no liability at all, but in consideration of your son's services, they wish to present you with a certain sum as compensation. Mr. White dropped his wife's hand and, rising to his feet, gazed with a look of horror at his visitor. His dry lips shaped the words, how much? 200 pounds was the answer. Unconscious of his wife's shrieking, the old man smiled faintly, put out his hands like a sightless man, and dropped a senseless heap to the floor. Now, in the huge cemetery, some 2 miles distance. The old people buried their dead and came back to a house steeped in shadow and silence. It was all over so quickly that at first they could hardly realize it and remained in a state of expectation, as though, oh, something else to happen, something else which was to lighten this load, too heavy for old hearts to bear. But the days passed, and expectation gave place to resignation, the hopeless resignation of the old, sometimes miscalled apathy. Sometimes they hardly exchanged a word, for now they had nothing to talk about, and their days were long to weariness. And it was about a week after that old man that the old man, waking suddenly in the night, stretched out his hand and found himself alone. The room was in darkness, and the sound of subdued weeping came from the window. He raised himself in bed and listened. "Oh, come back," he said tenderly. "You'll be cold."
"Oh, it's colder for my son," said the old woman.
The sound of her sobs died away on his ears. The bed was warm and his eyes heavy with sleep, and he dozed fitfully and then slept until a sudden wild cry from his wife awoke him with a start.
"Oh! The paw! The paw!" she cried. "Well, the monkey's paw!"
Oh, he started up in alarm.
"Where? Where is it? What's the matter?"
She came stumbling across the room toward him. "I want it," she said quietly. "I want it. You've not destroyed it."
"Well, it's in the parlor on the bracket," he replied, marveling.
"Why?"
She cried. And bending over, kissed his cheek. "Oh, I only just thought of it," she said hysterically. "Why didn't I think of it before? Why didn't you think of it?"
"What? Think of what?"
"The other two wishes. The other two wishes. We've only had one." "Was that not enough? Was that not enough?" "No, no, no. We'll have one more.
Go down, get it quickly, and wish our boy alive again." The man sat up in bed and flung the bedclothes from his quaking hands.
"Good God, you're mad," he cried, aghast.
"Get it," she panted. "Get it.
Get it quickly. And wish, oh, my boy, my boy."
Her husband struck a match and lit the candle. "Get back to bed."
"I'll get back," he said unsteadily. "You don't know what you're saying." "We had the first wish granted," said the old woman feverishly. "Why not the second?"
"It's a coincidence. A coincidence," stammered the old man.
"Go and get it and wish," cried his wife, quivering with excitement. "Oh, yes."
The old man turned and regarded her, and his voice shook.
"Oh, God, he's been dead 10 days. And besides, I would not tell you else, but I could only recognize him by his clothing. If he was too terrible for you to see then, oh, how now, oh, God, oh,
bring him back, oh, God, bring him back,"
cried the old woman and dragged him toward the door.
"Oh, do you think I fear the child I have nursed?
Oh, come now, oh."
Well, he went down in the darkness and he felt his way to the parlor and then to the mantelpiece. The talisman was in its place, and a horrible fear that the unspoken wish might bring his mutilated son before him ere he could escape from the room seized upon him, and he caught his breath, and he found that he had lost the direction of the door. Oh, God. His brow cold with sweat, he felt his way around the table. Oh, and he groped along the wall until he found himself in a small passage with the unwholesome thing in his hand. Even his wife's face seemed changed as he entered the room. It was white and expectant, and to his fears, oh God, seemed to have an unnatural look about it. He was afraid of her. "Wish! Wish!" he cried in a strong voice. "Oh, it's foolish and wicked!" he faltered. "Wish! Oh, wish!" He raised his hand. "I wish for my son alive again!" The talisman fell to the floor, and he regarded it fearfully. And then he sank, trembling, into a chair. As the old woman, with burning eyes, walked to the window and raised the blind. He sat until he was chilled with cold, glancing occasionally at the figure of the old woman peering through the window. The candle end, which had burned below the rim of the china candlestick, was throwing pulsating shadows on the ceiling and walls, until with a flicker, larger than the rest, it expired. The old man, with an unspeakable sense of relief at the failure of the talisman, crept back to his bed. In a minute or two afterward, the old woman came silently and apathetically beside him. Neither spoke, but lay silently listening to the ticking of the clock. The stair creaked, and a squeak of a mouse scurried noisily through the wall. The darkness was oppressive, and after lying for some time, screwing up his courage, he took the box of matches and, striking one, went downstairs for a candle. At the foot of the stairs, the match went out, and he paused to strike another. And at that moment, a knock. So quiet and stealthy as to be scarcely audible, it sounded on the front door. The matches fell from his hand and spilled in the passage. He stood motionless, his breath suspended, until the knock was repeated. Oh, God. And then he turned and fled swiftly back to the room, and he closed the door behind him. A third knock sounded through the house. "Oh, what was that?" cried the old woman, starting up.
"A rat. It was a rat," the old man said. "Gee, a rat. It passed me on the stairs."
His wife sat up in bed, listening.
A loud knock resounded through the house. "It's Herbert! It's Herbert!"
She ran to the door, but her husband was before her, and catching her by the arm, held her tightly.
"What are you going to do?" he whispered hoarsely. "What are you going to do?" "It's my boy. It's my boy. It's Herbert. It's Herbert," she cried, struggling mechanically. "Oh, I forgot it was 2 miles away. Why are you holding me? Why are you holding me? Let go. I must open the door. Oh, for God's sake, don't let it in," cried the old man, trembling. "Oh, God, you're afraid of your own son," she cried, struggling. "Let me go. I'm coming, Herbert. I'm coming." Oh, there was another knock and another. Oh, the old woman, with a sudden wrench, broke free and ran from the room. Oh, her husband followed to the landing and called after her appealingly as she hurried downstairs. He heard the chain rattle back and the bottom bolt drawn slowly and stiffly from the socket. And then the old woman's voice, straining and panting, "The bolt!" she cried loudly. "Come down! Come down! I can't reach the bolt! Oh, but..." But her husband was on his hands and knees, groping wildly on the floor in search of the paw. If he could only find it before the thing got inside. A perfect fusillade of knocks and reverberating through the house. Oh, and he heard the scraping of a chair as his wife put it down at the passage against the door. He heard the creaking of the bolt as it came slowly back. And at the same moment, he found the monkey's paw. And frantically,
He breathed his third and last wish. The knocking ceased suddenly, although the echoes of it were still in the house. He heard the chair drawn back and the door open. A cold wind rushed up the staircase. And a long, loud wail of disappointment and misery from his wife gave him courage to run down to her side. Oh, no, no, no. And then to the gate beyond. The street lamp flickered opposite. Flickering opposite shone on a quiet and deserted road.
Oh, that was the monkey's paw. So, this has been a lot of fun, hasn't it? This has been story time. And now, you know, I was noting the quality of the writings in the writing in the 1880s. Some of those words are like, what was that? Antimacassar. Antimacassar. Now, what is that? Why... It's a doily. You know those things that they put on chairs, your grandmother put on the back of chairs where your head would rest or your arms? They always got funky so they could wash them. But yeah, women had a way of crocheting or doing that stuff, beautiful stuff back then. But anyway, all right, that's enough spooky stuff, right? Oh, wait. I've got to sing the hell. This is my only kind of creepy train song. So I'll take you out of that. Very sad. Halloweeny, no horror. Well, a drunkard lay on the barroom floor. He drunk till he couldn't drink no more. Fell asleep with a troubled brain, and he dreamt he was on the hellbound train. Hellbound train. Hellbound train, hellbound train. Ooh. Fell asleep with a troubled brain, and he dreamt he was on hellbound train. Now the fireman, he was a crazy tramp. Headlight was a brimstone lamp. Tank was full of lager beer. Devil himself was the engineer on the hellbound train. The engine flew at a horrible pace, brimstone burning hand and face. Worse and worse that road bed grew, faster and faster that engine flew on the hellbound train. Well, he blew that whistle and he rung the bell. Devil said, hey boys, next stop's hell. All the passengers yelled in pain, begged to the devil, stop the train. Ah. Hellbound train. Hellbound train, hellbound train. All those passengers yelled in pain and they begged to the devil, stop the train. Now the devil, he laughed at the misery, hollering and yelled and roared with glee. You paid your fare with the rest of my load. Ride from the middle of the road on the hellbound train. You robbed the weak, you done wrong to the poor, you turn hungry folk away from the door. Laid up gold to your purse's bust, you ruin young gals with your beastly lust. Hellbound. You mocked God with your stubborn pride. Murdered, you killed, you cheated, you lied. Double crossed, pocket, cussed and stole. Belong to me. Body and soul, hell. You paid your fare to Shonicky Bar. Now you're gonna ride in the devil's car. But this is one time I am no liar. I'll carry you all to the land of fire. Hellbound train, hellbound train, hellbound train. Woo! Well, this is one time I am no liar. I'll carry you all.
the land of fire! Your bones burn in the flames and roar. Scorching, you'll sizzle to the rind of the corn. Barbara wing with a horrible scream. And then Rucker woke from his horrible dream. Rolled down on his knees on the barroom floor. He prayed as never before. His prayers and vows were not in vain, and he rode no more on the hellbound train. Hellbound train, hellbound train, hellbound train. Woo! Prayers and vows were not in vain, and he rode no more. Yeah, wasn't that scary? Did you get scared out there? Okay, enough of that. I'm hellbound and back on the Bipolar Express on KLLG. Whew. Hey, you know, I had a wonderful time, by the way, playing for the arrivals at the Waldorf School's Enchanted Pumpkin Path on Halloween. I got to play for 3 hours outside. Oh my gosh. Whew, I sure needed that. Kind of blown out today. That's why a lot of storytelling, right, Greggy? That's right, but it's okay. Hey, the staff, the parents, the students of that Waldorf school, they spent days working together, creatively working together to present a most creative fantasy journey for children and adults alike. And I gotta say, this annual event is a must experience for the whole family. So next year, be thinking about the Waldorf School's Enchanted Pumpkin Bath. It is worth every spooky dollar or whatever you have. Hey, so I've been lucky and love being a part of this event for the last 12 years. So some of the songs and instruments I played was the ukulele and the auto harp. So I'm just going to bring in my auto harp today. Maybe I'll bring that ukulele in next week. Yes. So I've got an actual bring my auto harp in too, because I can tell that story went a lot longer than I had anticipated when I first wrote this show. And by the way, they're all written. I'm not. Do you think I'm talking off the top of my head? Do you think I'm talking off the top of my head? There you go. You see, I'm not. Okay. All right. I'm putting down my guitar and I'm about to pick up my, what happened? There they are on the floor. I'm on the floor. Oh, get out. Get off the barroom floor, Gregory.
All right, all right. Feel very comfortable down here. Oh, boy, did I have a dream.
I'll tell ya. Okay. This is called an auto harp. As I told you last week.
Yep.
Well, he's back. Yes. Oh, I love this thing. Listen to this. Are you having a good time? I hope so, because I wouldn't do this if it weren't fun. Woo! Oh, hey. Hey, one, two, three. All night long. Hands and faces. Spirits free. One, two, three. All night long, hands and faces, spirits running free. Oh, gifts on gifts on gifts, nose and tongue and feet. Talk of rainbows from the garden hose, and electric fingers, woo, slipping through love, perfect hand. One, two, three, all night long. Hands and faces, spirits running free, one, two, three, all night long. Hands and faces, oh, spirits running free. Love on love on love, eyes, smiles, and laughing. Songs on beds with open heads, woo. And electric fingers, slipping through love, perfect hands. Whoa, one, two, three, all night long.
hands and faces. Spirits running free, 1, 2, 3, all night long. Hands and faces, spirits running free. Blessing, easy flow and away you go, with your electric fingers slipping through love's perfect hand. 1, 2, 3, all night long, hands and faces, spirits running free. 1, 2, 3, all night long, hands and faces, spirits running free. You know, it's cotton candy and Ferris wheels, birthday cakes and rhymes. All the innocence of my childhood gone, like the days of the Mercury head dying. See the yo-yo spin and rin-tin-tin, shooting marbles in the sun. There were colored kites and pillow fights and baseball cards with them. Now those Easter eggs and toy balloons, they skip rope of well-spent time. Oh, ride the merry-go-round to yesterday, to the days of the Mercury. When steam whistles blew, Pullmans were new, hobos had nothing to lose. Miles and miles of tracks and railroad tracks, and you know, my dad slept in the coos. And there were coonskin caps and cracker jacks. Oh, double dare you, tiger head. Now it's hide and seek. Oh, now don't you peek when you cross your heart on it. And there was Superman and Peter Pan. They say howdy doody's doing fine. Oh, but the Wizard of Oz, if he just grant my wish, I would ask for a Mercury head dye. Now those Easter eggs, toy balloons, skip rope of well-spent time. Oh, ride the merry-go-round to yesterday, to the days of the Mercury head time. Ride the merry-go-round to yesterday, to the days of the Mercury head time. You. Hufflepuff, the magic dragon. He lived by the sea, frolicked in the autumn mist, in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper, he loved that rascal Puff. Brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Ah, together they would travel in a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout, perched on Puff's gigantic tail. All noble kings and princes, they'd bow whenever they came. And pirate ships would lower their flag when Puff roared out his name. Come on. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea, rollicked in the autumn mist, a land called Honolulu. Oh, little Jackie Paper, love that rascal Puff. Brought him strings, sealing wax, and other fancy stuff. Now a dragon lives forever, not so little boys or girls. Painted wings and giant rings make way for other toys. Oh, one gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff, that mighty dragon, ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Oh, without his lifelong friend, oh, Puff could not be brave. Puff, that mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave. Sing together now. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist, a land called Honolulu. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist, in a land called Honolulu.
Back.
It does. I remember where that was a hit. Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Peter, Paul?
Boom! Pow!
Oh. Hey, the Lone Ranger of Tonto. Coming down the line. Fixing everybody's trouble. Everybody except mine. Someone must have told him that I was doing fine. Hey, woo. Hey, this is fun. How about you? Woo! Ain't going down no racetrack. See no sports car run. You know, ain't got no sports car. I don't care how one. I can walk anytime around the block. Look out now, Logan. Five and tens and women ain't got nothing in your head. I got a good gal I'm loving. I'll love her till I'm dead. Get away from my door. And my window, too. Right now. Whee! I did it. Listen here, buddy. You wanna be like me? I'll get yourself a six-shooter. Rob every bank you see. You just tell the judge. I said it was all right.
That's right, baby.
Whoa, Lone Ranger and Tonto, coming down the line, fixing everybody trouble. Everybody's at mine. Someone must have told off that I was doing fine. La 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 la.
This is fun. Aloha. Oh, gosh.
Sun, sun, warm sunlight, moon, moon, cool moonlight, stars at night, shining bright, sun and moon and stars shine bright. Sun, sun, warm sunlight, moon, moon, cool moonlight, all the stars at night, shining bright, on the moon and stars shine bright. Sun, moon, stars bright. Oh, yes. Makes me think of St. Francis.
Oh, taking off the auto hop right now. See, I'm running out of TIME. Looks like I've got a couple of minutes. Yeah, you might have wondered that, Greg. I hope you do. Okay, picking up my guitar, having no idea what I'm going to do, which is generally a safe thing for me. Yes, I know what I'll do. I have a... I don't... Wow.
Next week, by the way, I still have one more... auto harp tune to play for you. And I also want to bring in my ukulele. Won't that be fun? Maybe, Gregory. You know, we're getting a dog, and next week I think we're going to be talking about dogs. Maybe a little bit of Boomer Jack. Maybe a little bit of Old Blue. And you know what we're calling our dog? We're going to call him Booker. Why Booker?
I don't really know exactly.
A lot of coincidences happen around books. And we like to book. He's going to be a fast dog, so he's going to...
Book it, baby!
I'm getting me a dog. I need a real friend. A dog I can take on a walk and have a good time. He's gonna meet me at my gate. Oh, I'm so glad to see my doggy. Isn't this crazy? You know what you've been doing? You've been riding on the whoa, whoa. I said bipolar express. The bipolar express on KLLD. FM radio, radio, KLLG, LP, 97.9. FM Willis, California. That's right. Come on, www.wow.org. Awesome, and I hope you have a good one. Is that da 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 da. Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye. Do you dare tune into the Boot Baller Priest next week? I got it. Bye.